as I bring Brother Andre Marie on from the St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire at Catholicism.org, the Crusade Radio Network's Catholic Affairs correspondent, as I now refer to him, but my longtime friend and sensei. You know, Brother, I told the story of Father Feeney. I'm like, that's just, I don't know who you're talking to, Clavin, but good Catholic priest that I have a story of about Jewish people is Father Leonard Feeney. Who, you tell the story, he would go to New York City, he'd look for certain cab drivers that he knew to be Jews to get in their cabs, and he'd evangelize to them to try and convert them. And I think he was successful, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He evangelized successfully 13 Jews that way. That came into the church, formally came into the church, yeah.
Now, imagine if Father Feeney would have looked at them and gone like, well, I don't want to ruin their lives by having them know the truth.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I don't listen to Andrew Clavin. I've heard him a little bit, and I've heard him say some good things, and I've heard him say some rotten things, and so I just steer clear of people that I don't think have much to tell me that's any good. But I did not know that he was actually some sort of Christian. He said priest, so I'm assuming that means he was a Catholic. He was received into the Catholic Church. But this idea that we don't, I mean, actually, that's a shameful thing, particularly for a Jew who's a convert, to say about another Jew, that if he accepted Jesus Christ, it would ruin his life in this world. I mean, that's exact. I mean, Maggie, I heard Maggie gasp when he said that.
But she did.
That is the essence of being worldly, to say, well, we care more about this world than the next. And the idea that there's something offensive about the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ is itself highly offensive, but not offensive to me personally, like you've just offended my personal tribe or something, or my personal club, or my, you know, team. No, you've insulted God Almighty, one of the Holy Trinity. Look, it was prophesied that our Lord would be the Son of David. The promises made to King David that are recorded in the Old Testament, in the second book of Kings in the Old Catholic Bible, but 2 Samuel chapter 7 in the Protestant Bible, 2 Samuel, and actually in all the modern Bibles, it was prophesied that David's throne would last forever, and that he would put a son on his throne who would last forever, and thy house shall be faithful, and thy kingdom forever before my face, and thy throne shall be firm forever. He talks about his son. I will establish his kingdom, right? This was taken by the Jews to be a messianic prophecy, and this is why the Messiah was hailed to be the son of David. When Jesus entered triumphantly into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, they hailed him as son of David. Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That was all Masonic. Messianic, not Masonic, messianic, and that's why the priests got particularly offended, because they told our Lord, you know, shut them up, because they keep calling you the son of David. And he said, well, if you silence them, the very stones will cry out. In other words, this is so true that even dumb creation, even inanimate creation, will sing that I am the son of David. They knew he was the son of David. Jesus had multiple appearances in the temple as a child. Don't forget the infancy narrative. The presentation in the temple, the finding in the temple where Mary and Joseph went in to get their son who was mystifying the wise men in the it was actually probably the court of the women, because Our Lady could go there, where they were having these discussions. And this young man, 13 years old, completely mystified, or 12 years old, completely mystified them. And they knew, because they had the genealogies actually right in the temple. They had the genealogies. They could look up, who is this kid? And they saw his parents. This is why at the finding in the temple, that fifth joyful mystery of the rosary, they gave all the hints they needed to know who the Messiah was, and that it was Jesus Christ. And when, you know, he said, did you not know that I would be about my father's business? I mean, a real clue there. They knew that Joseph was descended from King David. They knew that Mary was descended from King David. And when Jesus refers to God as his father, They had all the ingredients that they needed to know. And our Lord asks his own enemies, the Messiah, whose son is he? And they said, David's. He says, well, how then does David in prophecy call him his Lord when he says, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And nobody questioned whether, hey, you can't quote Psalm 109, 110 in some versions as a messianic. No, they all knew it was messianic. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And our Lord Jesus Christ says to them, how then does David in prophecy call him his Lord if he is his son? And they didn't answer. And if they had thought about it and said, gee, we don't know, can you tell us? He would have said, yeah, because he's both. As man, he's his son. As God, he's his Lord. And and this prophecy was clearly fulfilled in Christ when the Blessed Virgin Mary is told, Luke's Gospel, the angel Gabriel says, and he will sit on the throne of David his father, and of his kingdom there shall be no end, right? This is offensive to the Jews to Jews who refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their king. This is offensive. Because and this is where we have to understand, ecumenism cannot help. It cannot possibly help.
Right.
Because you're either for him or against him. He himself said that. So they're either going to be offended that we profess that Jesus Christ is king, which is highly offensive to them because it's a messianic title, the son of David, the king of Israel. Remember, the priests got offended. They told Pilate, they tried to boss him around once more, and they said, no, scratch that out on the titulus and put, say not that he's the son of he's the king of the Jews, say that he said he's the king of the Jews. And Pilate famously said, quote, scripsi, what I have written, I have written. And that's what's on the titulus. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Nazarene, king of the Jews. So that's what he really is. That's his title. If we don't give him his title as son of David, as not only king of Israel, but king of the universe, king of heaven, king of earth, king of everywhere that there is kingship, if we don't give him that title, then shame on us. And if they're offended, well, then shame on them. So I realize that today what counts most is victim points, but no, that's not what this is about. What this is about is a profession of faith.
Yes.
And by the way, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your king on earth, you don't get to have him. You don't get to enter into his kingdom, which is the church on earth, and it's heaven after earth, right?
And brother Andre Marie, the St. Benedict Center, you can find brother, if you're curious now, because we just got a really good explanation, you can find brother and you can read all of his work at Catholicism.org. That's Catholicism.org. A couple of things come to mind as I'm listening to your explanation. One of them is, and this is not completely on the subject, but it's not off the subject either, is that, you know, if you read the narrative that we got this Sunday, and folks, you are listening to the Crusade Radio Network. If you read the Passion narrative that we got this Sunday, the prediction is made. Our Lord promises that, you know, the temple is going to be rent in two. Well, this Friday, on Good Friday, we'll read, this comes true. He tells them this, and of course, you know, they accuse him, among other things, although how could you possibly know this? So Friday we get the evidence, but I think what's really going on here, brother, and this is kind of a more abstract point here, this is Holy Week. Good Friday approaches. Easter approaches. We know how it turns out. Those that follow Christ the King know what's going to happen, right? The greatest event in the history of creation is going to happen this Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord. I just think that this is the enemy playing out and competing for as many souls as he can. And I'm surprised. I am wondering if the priest that baptized Andrew Clavin didn't call him up and go, dude, that's not what I told you. That's not correct, Andrew. You need to take that back. Because it seems to me, number one, that's not a friendly thing to do to your friend Ben Shapiro. That's number one. And number two, it's not a very Christian thing either. We want the world to convert, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, what we need is a St. Paul. You know, St. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, as he calls himself. And when he converted, he used all of that same energy that he had as a Jew. The Jews are very energetic people. And he used all that energy and brilliance that he had as a Jew and turned it to the good of the gospel. And he evangelized. The greatest missionary in history is St. Paul. I don't think anybody will ever exceed what he did as a missionary. And that was a Jew who was a persecutor of the church and went from a persecutor of the church to being himself persecuted for Christ, ultimately dying a martyr in Rome. And that's what we need, is that kind of, you know, somebody like a Ben Shapiro who can take all that negative energy he's got against Christ. And yes, he publicly mocks Jesus Christ. I don't understand. Seriously, if you can find it. You can find him on Twitter.
Oh, it's easy to find.
Mocking stained glass windows of Christ, mocking all sorts of mockery of Christ. Now, he might not think it's mockery. He might just think this is funny, but it's mockery. And, I mean, how would Ben Shapiro like it if we talked about his mother that way or his father, which we wouldn't do because we're classier than that. But he's mocking our Lord, and he expects that he's still going to have Christians as part of his fan base. Sorry, people should all abandon him. And I don't mean personally. Pray for him. But why should you get your worldview from somebody who hates Christ and somebody who, you know, shows a picture of our Lord, a stained glass window picture, and says that this is the,
Brother,
don't
hold
shoot
that
picture.
Thought for just a second here. This is the Mike Church Show here, and welcome back on the Crusade Radio Network. Okay, just wanted to make sure I got the idea, and so the people listening down the line. We're speaking with Brother Andre Marie of the St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire, and you can find him at Catholicism.org. And also, he is the host of a show called Reconquest on the Crusade Radio Network. Brother, we have about 3.5 minutes left to go here. So I just wanted to reset, and we're talking about the soundbite that is making the rounds. You know, I'm surprised that Bishop Barron didn't jump in on this one. This is low-hanging fruit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's low-hanging fruit, but everybody's afraid of being called an anti-Semite. You and I, you or I are the fools where angels like Bishop Barron will go in where angels like Bishop Barron will not go in. And, I mean, actually, I don't think it's foolish. I think every Christian has a duty to make some profession in defense of our Lord. And, yeah, okay, so there are people who actually hate Jews and who do use things like this as occasions against Jews. I think they're very, very, very few and very far between. I don't think Andrew Clavin or Ben Shapiro have anything to be scared of. I don't think anybody wants to hunt them down and commit a pogrom in 21st century America. Sorry, it's not going to happen. And it certainly won't be the traditional Catholics who are defamed and ridiculed as anti-Semites. Because quite frankly, this is not a matter of hatred. This is a matter of love. First, love of God in Jesus Christ, who's
right.
Also our neighbor. He's also our neighbor because he comes to be among us. And love of people like Ben Shapiro, love of people like Craig Silverman, our Crusade Channel Jewish convert, right?
If you had shied away from, if we had gone like, no, Craig, because you used to call himself, I'm saying this in air finger quotation marks, people, he would call himself Jew Boy. And he was making fun of himself, but this is a Jewish young man who heard me on the SiriusXM Patriot Channel, heard Brother Andre talking about the philosophy of the ages, philosophy of Perennis, took the course, and then went, I have to become a Catholic. I must become a Christian. And he did. He was baptized. Unfortunately, he died. He left us 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He died suddenly. But, you know, he's one of those that we remember in our prayers. And this was a Jewish convert. So if someone would say, you're an anti-Semite, I said, I wish Craig Silverman were around because you could ask him that question.
Yeah, I mean, the whole charge of anti-Semitism is very silly. But, I mean, when you get people like us who want to evangelize Jews and who want to see them coming into the faith, that's the last thing that crosses our minds is, yeah, we do this because we hate you. Are you kidding? You mean I want you to kneel next to me at the altar rail, receive the Blessed Sacrament, receive a blessing from the priest, have the Blessed Virgin Mary, by the way, a Jewish mother, the best it's ever been, as your mother, have the Holy Trinity in your soul, and you call that hate? I mean, your idea of love and hate is really confused, man. Really confused. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with confusion, and this is spiritual, Mike. This is not political.
That's right.
Ben Shapiro has no idea that this is spiritual. He's compelled to do this because of some spiritual defect in him. And yes, because as long as he rejects Christ, that's a defect. And it can be overcome. That's what conversion is. We turn from darkness to light. He needs to do that. Otherwise, he's just going to keep and he's going to keep doing the things he's doing. He does not hold the moral law. He doesn't believe in the moral law. How do I know that? He justifies the murder of 30,000 Palestinians in Gaza.
Yes, he does, brother. We're going to have to leave it there. Wonderful and safe and blessed remainder of Holy Week to you and all the brothers and sisters at the St. Benedict Center. Those of you out there listening, you just heard the reason why it should have been Brother Andre and not Father Jonathan Morris as the Catholic advisor on the Fox News channel. So I just gave you prima facie evidence right there. Brother, God bless you. Thanks for being with us this morning. Appreciate it.
God bless you, Mike. Happy Holy Week.
Happy Holy Week. Thank you very much. And that's why we call him BAM, the acronym Brother Andre Marie. And again, you can find him on the Crusade channel at crusadechannel.com and the host of over 400 episodes of Reconquest.